Definitely 1067 The Fan. High noon in the District of Columbia. Everybody that's on hold, stay there. We're coming to you. I promise. We're doing phones all day. But right now, we're catching up with David Archer, Falcons radio analyst, former Falcons quarterback. We are excited to talk to David and just about the level of quarterbacking he saw last night. David, how are you, man? Thanks for the time.
Good to be with you guys.
Well, dude, obviously that was a wild game. The Falcons kind of dominated the first half. Washington came all the way back in the second. What did you think of the Commanders' ability to pull off that win?
Yeah, I was impressive. First of all, I was impressed with the crowd. I thought that the fan base, I was fortunate to, misfortune probably, to play in Washington as an opposing player, and then a chance to be with the Washington football team in the late 80s, early 90s, and see that crowd base when they were going to Super Bowls. And last night felt like one of those moments. That was a great crowd. They were that they really helped their team last night. And so kudos to the Washington Commander fan base, first of all. Thought it was a really cool atmosphere. Felt like a playoff game.
It did.
As far as the team, they have taken on the persona of their coach. Their coach is a tough guy. He's a guy that he puts his arms around all the players. We had him here in Atlanta. He took us to a Super Bowl. I love what he's doing up there. He's got a good young quarterback, and there's a number of good players on their team. But they play as a unit. They play together, and that all came when you come back like that in a game. You're down 17-7. You're able to regroup. You had a lot of things go against you. I don't know what the officials were doing. We had a game like that a couple weeks ago against Minnesota, where the officials decided to take over the game. And those were two of the best teams in the league in Atlanta and Washington in penalties against. And last night, Washington got annihilated by penalties last night, which was crazy. Yeah, crazy. Both those teams were averaging six or less penalties per game. Atlanta against Minnesota had like 13 penalties against Minnesota up in Minnesota a couple weeks ago. But something apples to the officials. But anyway, they overcame all of that. It was a classic, really fun game with two teams that have two bright stars at quarterback.
You mentioned Dan Quinn, and a lot of people want to talk about them losing the Super Bowl, but hell, it's not easy to get to a Super Bowl. So sure. He did a lot of great stuff there. What is it you think it is about Dan that makes him be like get a player to follow him so quickly?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know that you can necessarily put your finger on it, but he's an inclusive guy. You almost feel like there is coaching going on. There's obviously development of players, but there's also a collaborative feel where you feel like you're involved with game planning. You feel like you're involved with what's going on in practice. If something doesn't go right, there's an adjustment made. You're a part of that. I think that's something that makes you feel like, you're in it, one for all for one. And I think that's what Dan's about. He talks about brotherhood. He talks about everybody, being in the fight together. And I know it's a lot of times it's rhetoric. A lot of times it's just saying stuff, but he got the guys down here to believe in it. And I think he's doing that in Washington as well. And you obviously have to have players that can go make plays. And the young quarterback, I mean, Jaden Daniels is a heck of a player. He took the game over in the second half. Yeah. We really did a decent job in the first half, Atlanta did, in, kind of keeping things under reins. But we knew at some point he was going to take off. He was going to start being the dynamic athlete we saw at LSU and win the Heisman Trophy last year. He was going to do some of that. And could we find a way to keep him hemmed in? We couldn't. And that was just a fact of the matter, and he took the game over. But as far as Dan goes, he's a fun guy to be around, and I think that makes it fun to come to work. And sometimes that can be drudgery when you go in there and it's not a great work atmosphere, and there's a bunch of people griping at each other, and people in the building don't like each other, and all that. He doesn't allow that kind of stuff, and you can see it's definitely permeating there in Washington.
Yeah, man, it's interesting you bring that up. I'm talking with David Archer, who is the Falcons radio analyst, played quarterback for the Falcons, was quarterback here in Washington in the late 80s. One of the first things DQ did, and I was kind of like skeptical of it, is he moved all the lockers around. It was no more position groups. It was everybody just kind of intermingled. And I one of the players last night referenced how much that has had an impact just on getting to know each other. And it's just, there's a little bit of willing to push back on conventional wisdom that you see from DQ. And I think it's really, really worked. I'm curious, as a former quarterback yourself, what you thought of Jaden Daniels' level of play last night.
Yeah, I thought he tried to stay within the confines of what Cliff wanted to do with him in the first half. I think they felt like they could maybe hurt Atlanta dropping and throwing, him staying in the pocket. Atlanta does a pretty good job of playing match coverage. They'll play some zone, they'll play some man, but a lot of times it's kind of a match zone, and I thought that they were really well prepared to take what Atlanta was giving them in the passing game. They struggled to get the run game going. I know that Cliff Kingsbury continued to kind of probe Atlanta. You know, they went to some Wildcat, did some stuff with Robinson. But ultimately, the problem was going to be Jaden Daniels. And I thought they saw a glimpse of it. They ran one zone replay in the first half, and Jaden kept it. And he picked up about 20 around the left edge. And I said, uh-oh. Then I looked at my broadcast partner. I said, they just discovered, you know, they need to let their guy go. And so they took the reins off of him. And I don't know that it was necessarily verbally said, but I think Jaden felt it. I think certainly Cliff felt it. And whether they actually said something, said, hey, you find room, take off. Because Atlanta was trying to rush him. They were trying to rush on his level, trying not to give him lanes. That was something they'd worked on all week long. We brought Emory Jones in. We actually signed a guy to try to play Jaden Daniels in practice, you know. So it worked for half. But ultimately, he got to be the guy he is. And it's what he did to Philly the week before where he took off. And we had no – I don't think there's a lot of teams that are going to have an answer for him. The biggest thing they're going to have to govern there is – he's not the biggest guy in the world from a body standpoint. You guys have been covering him all year long.
Yeah.
And he's a tough kid. But you're going to take shots in the National Football League you didn't take in college. And so he's got to be careful with that. But the dude's a tough guy. He's a smart guy. He's a much better passer than I think anybody knows. I think he's going to be a dynamic passer. I think he's going to be – he's far – and he's well beyond what Lamar was coming into the league as a guy that could run – throwing the football. He has a much better understanding of throwing the ball. And look what Lamar's turned into. I think that's what you're looking at with Jaden Daniels.
I think Jaden, he has learned to protect himself. But yesterday, I think he felt, I have to take some chances for us to win this game. And that's why he put himself in harm's way, I think, a couple times.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that, you know, there comes a time, Brian, you know, I mean, when you play the game, there's some times where you got to throw caution to the wind. I remember taking off and saying, hey, I got to go get this first down. And that's what he does. I think he understands the tempo of the game. He understands the moments in the game when he needs to do that. And certainly at the end of the game, in that final drive in overtime, I thought he did some really good stuff there to create the opportunity to win the football game.
Yeah, I think – what you see with Jaden is just this absolute competitor, and whatever needs to be done in the moment, he'll respond and do it. And it's pretty remarkable to see that in a rookie. As far as, I mean, you know, Atlanta's had a hell of a schedule. Like, there's what the Falcons have been ups and downs throughout the year. At one point, it looked like they would run away with the NFC South. Now, I don't believe, is it, it's not for certain yet that are the Falcons, they're still alive, right? Depending what happens with Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa's got to lose the Saints, and based on what I saw the Saints yesterday, that's not going to happen.
No.
It looks like the Saints have mailed it in, and you know, you're covering football the way you do, for us to have to depend on the Saints here in Atlanta, is, you know, almost like eating spinach or something like that. I don't know. It's just not going to work, you know. But
yeah.
I just. They're not gonna beat Tampa. We'll have to play. You know, I think it'll be a real challenge for Raheem. And this is professional football, and so you get ready for the next week because you're a pro. But the guys that was really a deflating loss for Atlanta last night. They laid it all on the line last night. They knew it was a playoff game. They knew that this was the game that potentially was going to get them into the playoffs. I think they could beat Carolina. So they were really down after the game. So that'll be a bit of a challenge for the players themselves and for Raheem and his staff to get these guys ready to play this next weekend. I know they know there's a little bit still on the line, but that was a tough one last night.
Well, especially to have a 10-point lead at halftime and then to tie it up at the end. I get that's got to be a really tough locker room to be in. But David, considering you are the Falcons radio analyst, you've been watching this team for years and certainly all this year. Atlanta's played a pretty tough schedule. They've played the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Eagles, at Minnesota, play the Chargers, at Denver, like a lot of tough games on that schedule. I'm kind of curious for our audience where you think Washington stacks up against some of those better teams the Falcons have played.
Yeah, I think that the first thing you start with is you start with the kid at quarterback. I think that you've mentioned he's a gutsy guy. Brian talked about how, you know, he's a guy that's going to understand, hey, I got to go get this game. I got to put my team on my shoulders. I need to go do that. I think that staff there, Cliff Kingsbury, they've enabled him to feel comfortable doing that. I mean, sometimes rookie quarterbacks are reluctant to take the reins as the leader and you know, load the team on their back or do things athletically because they're taken away from the great players like Terry McLaurin or whoever it is. He's not fearful of that. They've done a good job of enabling him in that regard. But I think in the National Football League, you know, it's a given Sunday. We know that. I think Washington is as good as anybody they're going to play. They've played against the best. I mean, Philly's a good football team. Played Philly to the wall twice in two games. So we played Philly up there and beat them late in the game because Saquon Barkley dropped a pass in the right flat. We were able to come back and win the football game. It's that given Sunday, that weekend, you know, whoever you get. I think Tampa is hot as can be right now. I think Baker Mayfield is one of those gritty guys that's going to find a way to beat you. So I think it's wide open. The Lions are limping into the playoffs because of their defense. They're going to have to play really good offensively to beat everybody. Minnesota seems to have that, you know, Minnesota and Kansas City seem to have that horseshoe up their rear end where they keep finding a way to win games. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch the playoffs this year, but Washington could very easily make a run this year.
David, that horseshoe in Kansas City is number 15.
I think you're right. That dude just finds a way to win games. And maybe number five in Washington is one of those kind of guys.
I hope he is.
It's crazy to think that he kind of seems like that type of dude. Hey, David, just curious, how do they handle this Kirk thing? What do the Falcons do there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's guys, that one's above my pay grade.
Well, he's walking away with a lot of money, I can tell you that.
He had a lot of money before he ever got here, Brian. Yeah. You know that. I mean, dude's walked into a pile of money. Every room he walks into is like Monty Hall standing there ready to give him some money and let's make a deal. So
he gets the bag.
But yeah, no question about it. It's a sad deal because guys, you guys probably around Kirk when he was there.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to meet a more quality human being than Kirk Cousins. I mean, and the dude has been a really good player. I have no idea what happened to him in like week 10, week 11 of the season. Things just, it was like he quit. He says in his press conference after he lost his job, I didn't forget how to play quarterback. That's what it felt like. Uh-huh. It felt like he forgot how to play. You know, and you mentioned that schedule. We played ourselves in position 6-3 through nine games. All you got to do is win a couple of those games, and you're going to walk into the playoffs. Tampa's way behind you. You beat Tampa head-to-head twice. But we just bled that whole thing away, and then Kirk just lost his way. And as far as the money goes, yeah, that's one of those deals where there's a lot of different things, you know, after June 1st and all these kind of things. But it's still going to be a huge chunk of change Atlanta's going to have to swallow But hey, that was the bet they decided to get in, and somebody's gonna have to pay for that.
Yeah, it's gonna be a tricky situation for the Falcons.
He's gonna walk away, and he's gonna get about 70.
Right.
That tells me the league makes a lot of money.
What is the Atlanta fan fallout to kind of some of the time management from Raheem last night?
Yeah, there's a lot going on here with the fan base. I was listening to a little sports talk radio here in Atlanta on my way into the Falcon camp, and they're not happy. You played some QB too, Brian. When you sit in meetings and you listen and you learn and you try to think about clock management as a player. And see, back when we played, you didn't have guys talking in your ear or anything like that. You had to kind of know the game. You had to kind of know when to burn timeouts and things like that. And whenever you got to that 40-second range, time became the premium. Downs weren't the premium anymore. If you had timeouts, multiple timeouts, certainly you're trying to save one for the field goal. But if you had multiple timeouts and you completed a pass inbounds with less than 40 seconds on the clock, you've got to burn a timeout, you know, and to save the time. Because you see teams rush the line and kill the clock with grounding the ball. Obviously, downs aren't the premium. Time is the premium. And, yeah, Atlanta bled off about 17 seconds there and ultimately cost them. Now, we got the penalty there, whether that was a penalty or not. I mean, the ball was thrown about 10 feet over the court receiver's head on the play, but they called PI there to give us a chance to kick a field goal. But it was not the best moment from an operation standpoint. Let's put it that way.
I agree with that. Hey, David, we really appreciate you making time for us, man. I look forward to, I was saying this last night. Interestingly enough, we know a couple people involved in Falcons ownership, Dominique Dawes and her husband, and Atlanta is an NFC team, but I never got beef with the Falcons. Like last night, you want them to lose, but in general, I'm cool with the Falcons.
Totally.
And I'm a big Penix fan, and I hope that all works out down there, man. I love watching a big lefty like that just sling it. I hope it works out for you, dude.
Yeah, he's got a chance to be pretty good. I appreciate it, man. Dominic goes to all the games, too, so she's a very active minority owner. We're excited to have her. We're excited that she's involved with the team. But appreciate you guys. Good luck in the playoffs, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you, David. Take care. David Archer, Falcons radio analyst. Give him a follow at ArcherQB16. Phone lines are packed. We're taking all your calls the rest of the show. Damn it. And Alex Ovechkin can't stop scoring.
There you go.
12:30 in the District of Columbia. People have been on hold for a while. I'm just going to let them talk.
Let them talk, bro.
My man Eric is in Stafford. Eric, how far are you?
I want a damn tutu. Let them talk.
What up, Eric?
What's going on, guys? Thank you for taking my call. Man, what a game. What a team. The Commanders are here to stay. You know, my credit pie goes 60 to Jaden Daniels, 20 to OZ and Zach Ertz. And 24, the defense. I mean, the coaching staff.
Right.
Jaden Daniels, he's proven week in, week out, nothing is too big for him. No moment under the lights is a big moment for him. He knows how to control the game, and the way he distributes the ball, phenomenal. It's good that Zach Ertz was able to, you know, be that security blanket for him since, you know, they were – you know, on Terry McLaurin most of the game. And then the coaching staff to go on fourth down several times, making adjustments. It's been a while since we had a coaching staff that's done here, you know, that's done that in D.C. for a while. So that's all I have to say. I'm proud of the Commanders. And whoever we play in the playoffs, it doesn't matter. We'll take on anybody. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Eric. I totally agree. I mean, the mindset of, like, trying to get – of course you want the best matchup, and I think this organization – a lot has changed since week one. If they got a chance at Tampa, a lot has changed since week one.
Oh, yes.
But, dude, it's the playoffs. You're going to play a good team, and you got to go try to beat them.
Beat whoever you see.
It's not that complicated. PFF just put this out. Their highest graded players from last night against the Falcons, OZ, Olamide Zaccheaus, 84.2. Jaden Daniels, 82.2. Bobby Wagner, 80.2. Sam Cosmi, 75.1. And John Allen making his return last night at 73.8.
All right. All right, Big J.
Yo, some of those holds on Cosmi
was a bunch of BS.
That's kind of what I thought. Like, when he gets inside on a D-tackle and then he moves his hands and the D-tackle drops, that's not a hold.
No, it's not a hold. No. Hold is wrap your arm around his neck when he's trying to get
when
past
the guy's
you.
Getting past you and you stop his ability to get past you,
hold
that's holding.
Is when a guy, just like when a guy is leaning on you in the post and you just move, they call it pull a chair from under them, right? And the guy falls. Is that your fault?
No.
That he was leaning on you and you moved out the way and let him fall? But we see referees call that sometimes on the player that moved. And the same thing in that game. That dude was leaning. He was very chest forward. And he was heavy. And he just fell. You know? You can't call that all the time.
I am with you. Tim is in Mississippi. What's up, Timmy?
What's up, guys? So good to be on with you guys. I'm a Skins fan down here in Mississippi.
Oh, man.
And if I could, let me just tell you a couple things real quick, and I'll get to my credit pile, but real quickly, I'll be brief, I promise. First time ever caller to any radio show in D.C., so I'm excited. But listen, I grew up in Mississippi, and in 1983, my parents said, we're moving to D.C.
Wow.
We moved up to D.C. The first game I ever saw, I was a Cowboys fan, of course. You know, B-Mitch, you know, you're either Saints, Cowboys, or Falcons. So I was a Cowboys fan. Didn't know better, sorry. So we move up to D.C. I get invited to a watch party for the Super Bowl with Joe T. and Rigo. Watch Rigo break the tackle, watch Joe T. do his thing, and I have been a fan for 41 stinking years.
There you go.
So love it. I moved back down to the I came back down to school. I was a spoiled Redskins fan. 1983, I just moved there. We win a Super Bowl. 1987, I'm a senior at Yorktown High School in Arlington. We win a Super Bowl. I'm a senior at Ole Miss down here in the South. In 92, we win a Super Bowl. Go Rip. I mean, I was a spoiled young 22-year-old.
Been a long time since then.
Dude, JP, it's been awful. So I'm down in Mississippi. I'm still living back in the old days when you can't watch the Skins. I can't watch them because all they show is these other teams. The best invention ever made was DirecTV and the NFL ticket. Ever since they started that, I was a subscriber, so I got to watch my Skins every week. The problem was we stunk so bad for so many decades. I'm 55 years old now. What's happened? I watched Jaden Daniels last year. LSU came to play Ole Miss. What a shootout game that was. So when all this draft was happening, I was fired up. I was really hoping we'd get him. He is amazing. So real quick, I work at a college. I'm a fundraiser for athletics. We have a banquet every year. 2 years ago, guess who I had a part in getting to come speak to our banquet? Freaking Joe Theismann. He came, and I got to wear his ring. We got pictures. I visited with him. I said, Joe, I'm a big fan. And it was I felt like a kid again. And that's kind of, as you can tell, how I feel now. But it's been great watching this team. I'm so excited. The victories, I watch them every week. So anyway, Brian, I went to the Saints game a couple weeks ago. I saw you guys doing your pregame show down there. I feel like I'm a 55-year-old man, but I feel like I'm 15, 17 years again. So old again. So it's been really great.
We're glad for you, Timmy.
Anyway, love y'all show. Here's my credit pie. I would love to give 90% to Jaden Daniels on his own because he carried that team. He did so great. But I won't be realistic, be fair. I'm going to give 50% to Daniels. We'll give 20% to the defense because they stepped up in the second half. Zaccheaus, I'm going to give him 10%. Boy, he stepped up. Ertz, 10% to Ertz. What a catch in the end. And, man, he was running after the catch. Yak after catch yesterday. Yep. That was awesome. McNichols, I'm giving 10 to McNichols because on that effort, on that 4th-and-2, for him to duck under that last attempted tackle and to get that first down was freaking unbelievable. I was running around my house last night, hugging my kids. my college kids, they're all in college, but I was hugging them like I said, it's just awesome. I don't care who we play. It's all gravy for somebody like me right now. You understand?
Yes, sir.
It's like gravy.
Thank you, Tim.
Great.
Appreciate you, bro.
Appreciate you, Timmy.
Love you, guys.
All right, bro.
My man Tim was fired up.
Hell yeah, he is.
And understandably, man, 11 games, dude. Nobody expected that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Wednesday's New Year's Day. Lanfield, see if we can get Greenberg on Thursday. Because I remember Greenberg said, he's like, if you like this team, you're better off going alt lines heavy on the win total and getting some plus money. I believe Greenberg put something in at 11 wins to make some real cash.
Greenberg should send us some food Thursday.
Yeah, Greenberg.
He got hit.
What do you think the chances are Greenberg would drive to Ashburn and do the show with us out there?
Let me see what the analytics say. No chance.
I think Greenberg might live out that way, though. I don't know. But I agree with you, probably no chance. Who wants to get nuts? Shout out to Rick Snyder, who took a picture of our guy, Commandante Tequila, and said, what'd he say? I have no words?
He said no words.
Now, Commander responded to it, thought it was
funny.
He
just said no words. Commander looked like he was walking, like my coach used to say, he looked like he was knee-walking drunk.
Hello, Commander. How do you do, sir?
Pretty good, you guys. How's your great morning or great afternoon, man?
Oh, yeah. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. I haven't slept yet, but I'm awake drinking my coffee.
Cool.
Hey, I got four different pies.
What?
Okay, I got a pumpkin pie with whipped cream.
Quattro.
For Jane Daniels, you know. Then I got a big old huge double dip chocolate cream mud pie for the offense and for the defense.
And Jeff's ears perked up at mud pie.
And the blue, yeah. Somebody's supposed to bring it in. I don't know, but an apple pie with blueberry in it. For our coaches. Man, this game was awesome. The fans never left the stadium this time. Everybody stood there after overtime and after the game. Oh, my God. I've never seen it like this in my life, to tell you the truth.
I love it. What time did you get out of there, Commander?
I left there like 2 o'clock. I didn't get here to the house almost 2:30.
Commander, what'd you think of Rick Snyder posting a picture of you yesterday?
Oh, that was funny because they posted a picture. I got my kids at the house. My kids seen it. He woke up, and they sent it to the picture to my wife, and I didn't see it till after the game. And my son posted it with the picture. Said, I don't know my dad no more.
Thank you, brother.
All right, you guys take care.
Happy New Year, brother. Commander. Commandante, getting it done.
I tell you, boy.
What am I going to do here? We can do this. No, Mama's going to take a minute.
Neil, Lanfield said Neil had him over 9.5 wins.
I think he might have had an alt to 11. Los is in Severna Park. What up, Los?
Yo, gentlemen, big shout out to your boy Ryan, man. I was tailgating with him yesterday. I'm not sure you know.
Who,
Ryan,
the Stallion?
Right? The Marine, man, the Congress
oh.
Marine.
Oh, you know? Sure. Yeah. Not Stallion, actual Marine.
No, not the Stallion. Yeah. No. Okay. But, yeah, big shout out to him. Was tailgating with him yesterday, man. I was at the game, lost my voice, man. When we won, man, I was crying. My girlfriend was right next to me. I was crying. She's like, why are you crying? I'm like, this means something, you know? I was like, this never happened. And I got to see it live, you know? I was like, yeah. But look, a big credit pie goes to Jane Daniels, Zach Ertz, the offensive line, and a piece of pie with an ice cream on top to McNichols, man. That guy is running like he never wants to get a cut from this team ever again. He's going to stay on this team. We're going to resign him. But I'm looking forward to the future, man, to more games like this on primetime. You know how long it's been since we've had a primetime game on Sunday night? It's been at least 2 or 3 years. So, like, for us to be on national television, an ownership putting money in a stadium for us to actually have a light show, fire, and you know, proposals on the field – man, this is a Disney movie going on right now. Yeah.
It really is.
Yo, Revo, congrats, so, brother.
Thank you, Los.
Congrats, man. Shout out.
All right, man. Well, you know what? That's the second guy who told me he was crying. I got a text from Devon in Rockville. He was like, man, tears in my eyes. Tell the truth. You were crying. You were crying, didn't you?
My eyes watered up yesterday.
Your eyes were sweating?
Bro, I was just, at one point, I was just standing in the stadium, just taking all the energy in, bro.
And your eyes started sweating.
I started coughing so I could just wipe my eyes without, you know, fully tearing up.
Yeah.
It's all good, though.
Just say you were crying.
But I was almost there.
Grown man cry.
Now, we win a playoff game. Oh, we go to the Super Bowl. I'm going to stop talking.
Relax, Jeff.
Yeah,
relax.
Jeff, damn.
Got
to put it out there, though, Jeff. Got to believe to achieve.
Got to believe. I mean this seriously. Like, we saw them play the Ravens. They've beaten the Eagles. There's nobody they can't compete with. I don't know what the hell's going to happen. I'm not talking about New Orleans or any other thing, but, like, whoever it is in this wild card round, the only thing we know for sure is that they're going to this wild card round.
Yep.
And we know for sure it'll be Tampa, L.A., or Philly. You don't walk into any of those games feeling
you don't have a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as five is playing, and that's not to take anything away from everybody else involved, because a lot of people are involved in huge, huge games and wins.
Believe me, everybody else knows if I just do my job, he'll make me look good.
As long as five is playing?
Yeah.
Phone lines all damn day. It's B. Mitch and Finley. And shout out to White Brian real quick. Running the hell out of the stream. Whole bunch of people in the stream. Man, it's holiday week. Nobody's at work. People are in the stream. We appreciate you. Yo, White Brian, how you feel about that big Giants win yesterday, pal? I know that one must have meant a lot.
Yeah, sure did. Feeling great.
They went from the number one pick to right now number four. Widely considered to be a two-quarterback draft. Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. I'm not entirely convinced I'd love either of them. I think both of them would be the fifth best prospect in last year's draft.
Probably lower. A solid guard available there, though.
Maybe lower, honestly.
You could be hyped for that, though.
Lanville, you might be known as a hater to some. Would you take Shedeur or Cam Ward? Obviously not over Jaden.
Yeah, of course not.
Drake May?
Yes, absolutely.
You would take one of those. You would take Drake ahead of those two, you're saying?
No. I would take either Shedeur or Cam Ward over Drake May.
I would not.
If Drake May is so bad that you wind up with the number one overall pick, you'd have to be high to pass up one of those guys.
So you think New England should just go quarterback again?
Yes. And if they're in the same position next year, do it again.
I don't
agree.
If
your quarterback sucks so hard you get the number one overall pick, you need a new quarterback. Wow. This ain't hard.
Would you take Cam or Shedeur over Penix?
Yeah, I don't know. Penix looked pretty decent. Does need to hold on to the football a little bit more. I think he fumbled a couple times yesterday, but he looked pretty decent in these two games.
What about Caleb?
I don't think Caleb Williams is as bad as the record is.
I agree. I honestly think Caleb's worst trait, besides just being in a terrible offense, terrible situation, is holding on to the ball too long, and I think Shedeur does the same thing.
But, definitely, mindset, they always want to make a big play.
Right.
You have to learn when you just start making the play that's there, the big plays come easier.
Totally. I still like McCarthy. I don't know. The Giants, so White Brian, that's your team. I noticed you rocking your Giants beanie when you walked in this morning.
Oh, you took it off when you saw us, though.
I saw him wear it, but he took it off.
I immediately asked him about the Giants when I saw him earlier.
I am proud that he's realizing to start dressing a little schlubbier. Today, gone is the button-down and sweater, just wearing a hoodie today. Hasn't shaved in at least 3 or 4 days. You're starting to really become a radio guy, Brian.
Looking just like JP.
You're starting to fit in, which is bad news because your wife's not going to like it. But whatever. You at least you look cool around here. Seriously, that's a really dumb move for the Giants yesterday. And then Daboll tried to have a victory parade. What do you make of all of it?
It's just a disaster. They do this every year. They suck in the beginning, and then they win a meaningless game in December, and they mess up their draft stock.
Hey, Brian, we felt like that for a long time. So now you're living what many fans in this town have been living. It may last for 22 years, 25 years.
I don't want it to last for 22 years.
You sound like you're about to cry, don't you?
Yo, he does sound like he's about to cry.
I don't want it to last for 25 years.
Shout out to White Brian. Go Giants. Really, really cool, crazy moment last night. So we were live pretty quick after. All of us were. You were too. There was a lot going on that field, especially when a game goes that late. And so there's people running around. There's just chaos everywhere. And I don't know if you noticed this, B, but Johnny Newton, who's a big fella, big D lineman, just jumps up in the stands, and he must have been chilling in the stands for like 15 minutes.
Hey.
He was just chilling. And a lot of the players kind of run over to that area behind the end zone because that's where a lot of the friends and family and girlfriends and wives are. But Newton was just chilling. And then a few minutes later, somebody said to me, yeah, Revo's about to get engaged. I was like, what the hell? And I look over, and Jeremy Reeves is surveying the stands to in find that end
out,
zone.
Pull out the stands.
Trying to find his at the time, girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I'm watching. And then I realize, I'm like, yo, this is about to happen. And I've known Revo for some years. I know, you know, how close to this decision I think he's been. And then sure enough, I watch, and Reeves gets his girlfriend's attention, brings her down. And a lot of times you'll see players and their girlfriends or wives or whatever, they'll lean over the railing to just, like, give a kiss and a hug. And he's, like, telling her, like, no, come down here.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, what? And he finally kind of, like, picks her up and brings her down onto the field. At this point, like, everybody's circling around. You can see something was going on. Revo gets down on a knee, has the ring. I mean, where'd he keep that ring?
He had somebody holding that
I'm
for
him. I'm guessing the equipment guy was holding it. The woman is obviously just elated, says yes. The moment's incredible.
She said yes.
Yeah. And then what I thought was really cool, and I imagine a lot of people know this, but Jeremy Reeves and Tressway are incredibly close, right? And they've both been here a long time, special teamers, and their work goes hand in hand with one another. And so Tress kind of hears about it later as Reeves and his girlfriend were walking up the tunnel, or fiance at this point. The best was you were like, yo, is he taking her into the locker room? Wasn't that your reaction when you saw Reeves coming up over there? But Tress runs up from behind him, grabs him this big hug. She does like the universal woman that just got engaged thing, showing the ring. It was just such a outrageously cool moment on an outrageously cool night. And just a lot of fun. And just it's hard to get moments like that, man. You can't manufacture
it. Can't manufacture it. No, and it's like you make that plan, you want it to go perfectly, and bam, it went perfectly. Now, Revo kind of felt she would say yes. Like sometimes I wonder when they do it, because I've seen a couple of people in the stands and they break down and the woman say no. Or try to hide from the camera because she wasn't supposed to be at the game with him. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what you wonder. Like, you really feel that much and she don't even really like you. But nah, Revo, it was cool. It was cool.
There are moments in life you cannot manufacture. Last night was one of them.
Yeah.
There are people in life you cannot manufacture. One of them is Rev T. He leads off the calls when we return.
Reverend.
It's B. Mitch and Finley.